I'm expecting huge volatility this week. In fact, I'm expecting huge volatility in about the next 48 hours, because this is finally the week where, after 5 years, the Fed is actually going to start cutting interest rates. This is the week, 5 years in the making, where the Fed is going to start cutting interest rates. But when it comes to interest rate cuts, we have a huge problem. I'm going to show you what the huge problem is and why I'm expecting volatility. And then, speaking of volatility, I mean, have you guys been following the ETH BTC chart? Or in fact, have you guys been following ETH at all? It feels like ETH is in the midst of a capitulation. It feels like there's zero interest in ETH. It does feel like ETH is completely, completely dead. I'm going to talk about the ETH trade, because to me, I think ETH is finally dead, and I think it's probably time to let go of the bags. But maybe that's the bottom indicator. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Also, I'm going to show you some altcoins which are going to be running ahead of this week because of all the announcements that are happening. I've got some inside scoop on announcements. So listen, it's a big week this week. It's a very, very big week this week. Let me get the show on the road. You can see it's not my normal setup. I'm here in Singapore in the hotel. I'm trying to work with the lights here. You can see I'm getting like quite dark and quite bright and whatever else. But I'm here after a long flight, and I'm bringing you crypto love and I'm bringing you crypto wisdom. And it's quite a huge week this week. I think it would be a miss of me not to actually bring you guys a crypto show today, specifically on what is the Monday of probably the biggest week of the year from a macro point of view. And that's because this week the Fed is going to start cutting interest rates for the first time in 5 years. Now, interest rate cuts for us should be really good, because it's all about a looser monetary policy. It's about the Fed actually pivoting. It's about a new beginning. We've been in a tightening cycle for so long, and now we're going into a loosening cycle. It should be an amazing thing. But we have a very, very, very big problem when it comes to the Fed this week. I'm going to show you what that problem actually is. Then we're going to talk about coins that are showing relative strength. Then I'm going to talk to you about the ETH trade, because in my mind, ETH is absolutely, absolutely dead. So if you're here, Zweletu, I see you. Let me know that you're here. Say present. Glenn Goldberg, say present. Mr. Miles, if Runstrip staked, we would blend in perfectly with those walls. That's funny. Maybe let's try that quickly. If you're here, just say present, present, present. Thanks to the Banter Analyst team. It is a big thank you to the Banter Analyst team. And by the way, if you want to be part of the Banter Analyst team, right? So I am looking for more researchers. Now, what is a researcher? You're not going to write these fancy long research reports. You're literally going to scroll on Twitter all day. You're going to look for the hottest narratives and the hottest coins, and you're going to help us write shows. If you want to go full-time into crypto and you want to be writing shows full-time, full-time gig, working European hours, just go to the show over here. Now, I must warn you about something when it comes to this full-time researcher position. A lot of you, if you want to become a researcher, just click this link over here. Then you'll get a questionnaire which asks you like a whole lot of questions. Don't use ChatGPT or Google for these questions, because if you do, when you have an interview, you look like a fool. And that's what happened to quite a few people. They did amazing stuff on the form here, but then when it came to the actual interview, they were like, oh, shit, I actually don't know it. So listen, I'm looking for researchers. I'd love it if you guys could join us, if you guys could join the Banter fam, and probably one of the best research teams in the world today in terms of content. All right, let's get the show on the road. Let's get into Alpha. Just remember, if you're not already subscribed, there's over 1 million people that have subscribed. Join the family. A lot of the Banter family are here in Singapore with us. They're joining us at the Front Runners party and whatever else. So if you're not already a subscriber to our channel, subscribe to our channel. Let's go. We're over 1 million subscribers. Thank you, guys. Absolutely, absolutely thank you. All right, let's go. Let's talk about what's happening out there in the markets today. So we were at about 60,000 just on the weekend, and it looked like it was quite a convincing run. But then something happened, and specifically something happened this morning when Asia opened. What happened when Asia opened was the market started to get nervous. The market started to go down. And I'll show you some of the other charts which actually show this. In fact, if you look at the Bitcoin chart, Bitcoin's down at 58,500. But if you look at the Japanese yen, the JPY USD, what you'll see is that the yen strengthened against the US dollar. In fact, let me show it to you the other way around, because it just makes it a lot easier. USD, JPY. And what you can see is that the yen dollar breached the 140 mark, which is quite a pivotal mark. And the reason why this is happening is because this is the first week in 5 years, because you can see the last time that the Fed dropped rates was in June 2019, when rates were 2.5%. this is the year when the Fed is going to, this is the week when the Fed is going to drop rates again. And generally, that would be quite an amazing event because you basically, what it says is you're moving from a tightening monetary policy to a policy where the Fed is actually going to start putting money back into the economy, where people are going to start spending more, where there's going to be more liquidity. So generally, when you're a risk asset investor, you want to say, okay, that's an amazing, amazing, amazing week. So what's the problem? Why am I saying to you guys there's a problem? And there's a very big problem. Here's the problem right here. So if you look at the interest rate expectations, the market is torn between whether there's going to be a 25 basis point rate hike or a 50 basis point rate hike. Up until now, it's been almost a certainty that there's going to be a 25 basis point rate hike. Now, what happened is you've got some people, of 60% of people are estimating that we're actually going to get a double rate cut, a 50 basis point rate cut. Now, here's the problem with the scenario. So in this scenario, because no one knows, and you can see if you look around Twitter, my guess this week, whether 25 or 50, it'll be a sell the news. People don't know what it's about. 25 to 50, people are very confused. Here's the problem with this confusion. If the majority of the market was looking at a 25 basis point rate hike, and we got a 25 basis point rate hike, that would be amazing because we would have given the market what the market was expecting. The problem is that now when you've got 60% of people who are waiting for a 50 basis point rate hike and 41% people waiting for a 25 basis point rate hike, someone here is going to be disappointed. So if we get a 25% basis, 25 bips rate cut, 59% of people are going to be disappointed. If 59% of people are disappointed, that means that the market is actually going to go down and you're going to get this red candle down because you're disappointed. Now, I don't think that Powell is going to come out of the gates and reduce interest rates by 50 basis points. And there's a good reason for that. Number one, save ammo for when you actually need it. That's how Powell must think about it. What you've got to think about is you've got to think of interest rate cuts as a bullets in a gun, right? And every time the Fed reduces the rates by 25 basis points, they've basically wasted or spent one of the bullets in their gun. Now, do you think that Powell's going to come out after a tightening period and actually fire two bullets at once? I don't think that's going to happen. I think that that's crazy. I don't think that that's going to happen. I also think that if Powell does that, then that is an admission from him that the economy is in a bad space and that the Fed is actually panicking to fix the economy. And that's not the impression that Powell wants to give. Powell doesn't want to give the impression that he's behind the curve. And the best way to give the impression that you're not behind the curve is to come out and actually reduce by 25 basis points. So that's what I think. I think that on Wednesday, when the FOMC minutes happen and Powell announces the interest rate cuts, I think they're going to reduce by 25 basis points. And that is actually an amazing, amazing, amazing result. But the problem with that result is 59% of people in the market are going to be disappointing. That's the problem. And when you disappoint 59% of players in the market, you're bound to get volatility. And that's why I said that I'm expecting huge volatility this week. Now, the thing is that even if we get this volatility, I don't even really think it matters. And the charts are showing you that it doesn't really even matter. In fact, there's two charts which are showing you that it doesn't matter whether we get 25 or 50. What we should be doing is we should be celebrating the fact that rate cuts are finally here. And that is if you look at the gold chart and the US dollar chart. So let's just look at the gold chart. Gold is edging up to all-time highs, almost to $2,600 an ounce, right? And then you've got the Dixie. Now, whilst we haven't been following the Dixie all too closely, the Dixie has gone from 105 to 100. And what you can see here is that the Dixie is about to break down below this 100 range. Then there's one small resistance level over here, which is this 99.57 range. And then, I mean, it's a 10% drop down in the dollar. Now remember that most assets are priced against the dollar. So if the dollar weakens, the assets that are priced against the dollar go up. So that means that if the dollar weakens, Bitcoin will go up relative to the dollar. The Nasdaq will go up relative to the dollar. Real estate will go up relative to the dollar. So as someone says in the chat, it says, once the Dixie breaks down below this level, which is 99.613, then it's thanks for coming. That's the end of the Dixie's amazing run. And what you can see is you can see that the Dixie chart and the gold chart are actually like really, really, really excited and actually have started to price in the interest rates. The only one that hasn't started to price in the interest rates is, of course, Bitcoin. And what it's doing is it's taking the more conservative approach. And I must say, like, the funny thing is now that I'm having much more fun actually trading the NASDAQ and gold than I am having trading Bitcoin. I found it very, very, very hard to trade Bitcoin now. It's stupidly, stupidly, stupidly hard to trade Bitcoin. And I think you'll agree with me. We go back to 60, we come back down to 58, we go down to 60, come to 58. The one place where I actually have been trading and I actually have been making some money is I've been on Prime XBT. And I've been trading the gold. So you can see this is the demo account, by the way. This is not the real account. My other account's on my other laptop. But what you can see is that you can trade CFDs on gold, on the S&P 500, on a whole lot of other things. So if you want to trade CFDs, which is almost like futures, it's called certificates for difference, on the NASDAQ and on gold and on oil and other markets, because the Bitcoin price is not moving, just go and open an account. There's a link here. Where is that? Here we go, Prime XBT. Again, I use Prime XBT mainly when I want to trade gold and stock markets, which I can't do, and I don't feel like trading it through a broker and all of that. So let's go back to it. If you are going to do it, just open an account using this link, because that way you support the channel as well. So let's go back to it. So we're expecting the cut. The cut is something that should be celebrated, regardless if it's a 25 or 50 basis point rate cut. But the problem is that 59% of people are going to be disappointed. Unless Powell does, for me, what I'm going to call the unthinkable. If Powell comes out and does the unthinkable and does a double shot in the first time out the gates, then I think we've got ourselves a crazy problem. But because I think then Powell's going to be admitting that he's behind the curve and that the economy is in such bad shape. And then what I think is, if we get a 50 basis point rate cut, mark my words as to what happens. First, the market goes up to celebrate. But then the market's going to go, hold on a second. Shit, why is Powell cutting 50 basis points? And when they when the market starts to process that, they're going to say, Powell is pricing in 50 basis points because he knows something that we don't. He knows that this economy is completely toast. And then the market will start panicking. So best case scenario, we get a 25 basis point rate hike. Short term, the market gets a little bit disappointed. We get a bit of a red candle down. If you want to be trading that candle, I'm going to be trading that candle. Maybe I can't even do it live. You know why I can't do it live? Because when the FOMC happens, it's actually 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. in Singapore. So look, if I'm awake, I'll bring you guys the FOMC. If I'm not awake, then I mean, you guys can trade it. You can either trade the gold and the NASDAQ on Prime XBT, or you can go and trade on our normal exchanges on Bybit or BitGet or whichever ones. And of course, there's links over here for all of them if you actually want to trade. Lots of sign-up benefits in that if you do. So 25 bips. 25 bips is what we want, because if we get 50, it's panic stations. And even though we may get a little bit of a drop after the 25 basis point rate hike, I want you guys to keep one thing in mind. And that is that if you look at the year after the year after rate cuts, 12 months after the first rate cut, just look at what happens 12 months after the first rate cut every single time that it happens. So barring twice, one of them being the 2007 and 2008 housing bubble, to January 2001, when we had that black swan event, which was the dot-com collapse. Every other time, 1 year after the first rate cut, the markets have been exploded. 35%. I mean, you're talking about the S&P here. When the S&P goes up 35%, 31%, 33%, 20.3%, 20.4%, what you know is that this market is going to run. So it might not run on Wednesday, and it might not run on Thursday, but what you know is that in 12 months, unless we have another 2008 housing crisis collapse or a 2001 dot-com crash, then we're pretty much going to get something that looks like Valhalla, right? As you can see over here. And so that's what we're looking at. Our scenario over here is to say, we don't really care what happens on Wednesday. In fact, we hope for a 25 basis point rate cut. If we get a 25 basis point rate cut, bang, 1 year later, we expect the S&P to be between 20 and 35% up. If we do get the S&P between 20 and 35% up, then I'm forecasting a couple of things, right? I'm forecasting a catch-up trade. And I'm not only forecasting a catch-up trade between Bitcoin and the NASDAQ. I'm, I'm also forecasting a catch-up trade between Bitcoin and gold. And I mentioned to you that Bitcoin and gold, if you look at the gold trade, look at gold. Gold's been rushing up to all-time highs. Bitcoin's nowhere near its all-time highs. Bitcoin's been has been going sideways. So what I'm saying is, once we get the 25 basis point rate cut, or maybe even the 50, but I hope it's 25 for the sake of the markets, I hope it's 25, then we get the catch-up trade. And then there's three catch-up trades that have to happen. The first catch-up trade is Bitcoin to gold. That's this chart over here. We have to have a catch-up trade. Then you have Bitcoin to the S&P 500, which is this trade over here, which is another catch-up trade. And then you've got another catch-up trade, which is Bitcoin to the M2 money supply, because remember that the M2 money supply, which is effectively the money supply on the market, has run, but Bitcoin hasn't run. And so you've got a scenario here, which I must say I haven't seen since I've been in Bitcoin, where the M2 money supply runs, the NASDAQ runs, gold runs, and Bitcoin moves sideways. I've never seen it. So I don't know. To me, I think we get this massive catch-up trade. And it would be, for me, it would be pretty like, what's the word? Ironic? No, ironic's not the word. It'll be, I don't know. But the word is that if I remember the last time that we marked a local bottom, it was actually about a year ago at Token 2049. And I'll remind you guys, a year ago, the market wasn't looking very good. The market was actually looking very, very bad. And then we came to Token 2049. And Token 2049 is the one event that brings together the whole of Asia and the whole of the West. And every single crypto project, every single crypto person, every founder, every VC, everybody is here in Singapore. And this place is absolutely buzzing. Now, the same thing happened last year. And that marked the local bottom for Bitcoin. And then from there, we went up and we went into this massive move over here. Maybe the same thing's going to happen again this year from Token 2049. Maybe we'll see everything that's going on. And to that end, I mean, I'm going to a whole lot of events. Tomorrow, you can see Tuesday, there's an event, the Near AI Tech Showcase. I'm going to be there. The other one is something that I'm expecting, but I don't know if it's true or not. So I see that Sui is showing relative strength, as you can see. Sui's been an amazing, amazing, amazing trade for us. It's showing relative strength. And tomorrow, there's also a builder house, a Sui builder house, which I'm actually going to go to, and I'll actually bring you guys live footage from the thing. But there's an announcement tomorrow, and I think that this might be the announcement. The guy behind USDC, Jeremy Allaire, CEO of Circle, is speaking at the Sui builder house on September 17th. So we may get USDC on Sui. That's huge, because you'll know that even though if you look at DeFi Llama, you'll see that there's USDC on a lot of chains like Solana, Base, Arbitrum, Polygon, Avalanche. A lot of that is bridged USDC. And there's only very few chains that Circle call on for native USDC. And I have a feeling that tomorrow Jeremy Allaire is going to announce that Sui is one of the chains where they're going to be issuing native USDC. Now that's big. If we can get native USDC on Sui, that's quite a big move. So I'll keep you guys updated. I'm going to go to the event tomorrow. I mean, Sui's also got like doing amazing things. We've spoken about it before, but they've got like this pump.fun. It's called Hop Aggregator. It's like their version of pump.fun if you're into the meme coins. So I think that this week should be a catalyst. I'm not saying it's going to be without volatility, because I think we are going to get volatility, unfortunately. It's just the way that it actually goes. But I think the one place that we actually might get some kind of turning point is actually in the altcoins. Because the altcoins, I mean, just look at that, beaten down completely bad. I mean, just look at those altcoins. Every single altcoin on the charts is red. And that's because Bitcoin's gone down. But it's not only because Bitcoin's gone down. It's also because of another chart that's happening. And the other chart that is happening is this chart over here. It's the Bitcoin dominance chart. And you can see that this Bitcoin dominance chart is on a tear. Now, when the Bitcoin dominance chart is on a tear, it means that Bitcoin is performing much better than the alts. And if I would have spoken to you in the beginning of 2024, when the Bitcoin dominance was at 50, a Bitcoin dominance of 60% would have sounded a bit crazy. But now 60% is only 2% away. And that's what Ben Khan, you know, he talks about dominance a lot. He says Bitcoin dominance is now at 58%. 60 doesn't seem so crazy anymore. The good thing is, though, that He also believes that at 60, this thing has to turn. At some point, specifically in an increased liquidity cycle, the alts start to perform better than Bitcoin. And that's when the dominance starts to turn. So it feels like the dominance is probably somewhere around a turning point, and will probably come back down to this line and maybe even break down below the line soon. And then we're going to get some kind of altcoin run, right? Someone says Phantom plus Andre vibes coming. Truth is, Phantom has been another one of those better performers. So you can see, like, Sui's been an overperformer. Phantom's been an overperformer. You can see them. You can see the charts are actually running. And there's a lot of hype all of a sudden on Phantom. A lot of hype. When I've been walking around here in Singapore, everybody's talking about Phantom. I saw Ansem earlier also talking about Phantom. So there's a lot of stuff happening on Phantom. And I think Phantom's going to also do some big announcements here. And now, again, that'll be very, very, very good for the altcoins. As Ansem says, Phantom Sonic, 10K TPS, L2 bridge, 90% of gas goes back to the apps, sub-second finality, chain level incentives, pretty much the perfect chain. I've told you guys to get into Phantom. If you're not already in Phantom, I think probably there's still a good way to get into Phantom. Still a good time to get into Phantom. I want to talk about the other altcoin, because one altcoin that's not having a turning point is ETH. And as Coach K says, he says, what the fuck happened to ETH? It used to be the altcoin king. And look at it. It cannot catch a break. And I think that ETH got a problem. And I think, to be honest, ETH is pretty much dead. Like, to be honest, I don't see the upside of holding ETH anymore. And I want to take you through the thesis of why the hell would anyone actually be holding ETH? We've had ETH. The ETH chart has been a terrible, terrible chart. Worse than every time we say it's going to be the bottom, it's not the bottom, and it just goes down and down and down. And ETH used to be a proxy for all the altcoins. But the thing is, when you look at ETH today, ETH is not a proxy for all the altcoins, because the altcoins have been going up even when ETH has been going down. And that's because ETH is in an identity crisis. And I'll tell you where I think the ETH identity crisis is. So in the old days, ETH used to be this altcoin. And it used to be the biggest altcoin in the market. And when people wanted to trade out of Bitcoin because they thought it was the end of the Bitcoin run, they would trade into ETH, right? The problem is that the people that used to do that are the retail investors. So retail investors and crypto native investors used to trade from Bitcoin into ETH. The thing is that now ETH has become an institutional asset because it's the only other asset with an ETF. So the reality is that it's now being driven by Wall Street, right? Problem is that Wall Street don't want this thing, or Wall Street ain't buying this thing. So you can see ever since the ETH ETFs launched, they've had minus 200,000 ETH flowing out of the ETFs. So Wall Street doesn't want this asset anymore. And retail's kind of going, hold on a second. We don't really want ETH. ETH is not exciting for us. If we want to be in altcoins, we're going to go to the real altcoins. We're going to go to Solana. We're going to go to Sui. We're going to go to Phantom. We don't want to be in ETH. ETH is seen as a Wall Street traditional asset, and we want to be trading out of the Wall Street traditional assets into what we call altcoins. And so when Coach K over here says, what happened to ETH? It used to be the alt king. It's time to find a new leader. I think for a long time, the market actually has had a new leader. And I think the leader has been Solana. I think when people look to see if altcoins are running, what they look at is they look to see if Solana is running. No one looks at the market every morning and says, hold on a second, ETH's having a good day, therefore alts are going to have a good day. ETH's been bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, and other tokens have been making up huge ground against ETH. So if you look at let's look at the Sol ETH chart, which is that chart over here. Whilst ETH has been bleeding and bleeding, the Sol ETH chart has actually had an amazing, amazing return. In fact, just from 23rd of June, when we called the bottom, the Sol trade up against the ETH trade is up 54%. So I think ETH's got a massive problem. I think that Wall Street doesn't want ETH anymore. And retail doesn't want ETH anymore. And then there's another cohort, which is the very, very, very early ETH investors. I'm trying to find you something over here. Hold on, let me just try and find this. There was a tweet that I had here. Let's try to find it. Okay, I can't find the tweet. Oh, there it is. So what this tweet shows is that the early ETH investors, the guys that bought ETH at $6 and $7 and $9 and whatever else, what they did was they starting to sell the ETH positions. So now you've got three cohorts of people who don't want ETH. Wall Street doesn't want ETH, or they just haven't clicked onto the ETH trade yet. Number one. Number two, retail investors don't want ETH. They want Solana. They're kind of going, listen, we don't want ETH. We want Solana. We want to go and play on real altcoins, coins that actually move with the market, coins that are actually much more fun. They're not here for the technology. They're here for money, and they're here for dopamine hits. And ETH isn't giving them money and isn't giving them dopamine hits, okay? Then you've got the third cohort of investors, which is the early ETH investors, and they're saying, we're getting out of ETH, and we're going to take that money, and we're going to put that money into other things, like Solana, like Sui, like whatever, Aptos, whatever the hell these guys are putting their money into. And so now you've got a problem. Nobody wants ETH anymore. There's not a natural buyer for ETH. Does ETH still have value? Sure, it has value. It's got the highest TVL, it's got the most tooling, it's got the biggest DeFi ecosystem built. Problem is that when you're dealing with an asset that has a market cap of, let me just quickly get you the right market cap. Here it is. $278 billion, right? That's $250 billion. When you've got an asset with $250 billion, the amount of money that you need to pump into this asset to pump it up versus the amount of money that you need to pump up a $61 billion asset, which is Solana, is magnitude different. It's five times the amount, right? Five times the amount. And so you've got to ask yourself a question. You've got to ask yourself a very serious question. What is the case for actually holding ETH now? Okay, the ETF is here, but no one, but Wall Street's not biting on this ETF. There's no frenzy for Wall Street to get onto ETF. The ETH is no longer the leading altcoin. So you can't even say, okay, well, if alts run, ETH will run. Because I guarantee you that if ETH runs, Solana will run more. And then you've got to kind of ask yourself, what is the reason today for actually holding ETH? And to be honest, I actually can't find one. I've been sitting here and I've been scratching my brain and I can't find a reason to actually be holding ETH. Joe McCann, who was on our show on Friday, on the Friday banter, he was like, not a fuck do I own ETH. And I'm starting to think like, look, I've still got an ETH position. And I'm just thinking to myself, why am I holding ETH again? I mean, I could just take that money and put it into Sol. I could even take the money and put it into Sui, okay, much higher risk. I could put the money into Bitcoin. But you know what? There's the counter argument to this. And the counter argument is that when you get to peak FUD and when people start calling the bottom and when people start to call an asset dead, then that could be the bottom. Now, I don't know anybody who's excited about ETH anymore. In fact, someone here said, even Ben Khan, just look at this. Even Ben Khan says, I think ETH BTC will likely call the bottom between 0.3 and 0.4. And I mean, I think it's pretty much like nearly there. And then we're going to start going up from there. Just when crypto Twitter is becoming max bearish on ETH, I think it's starting to look like an attractive buy here. So, of course, there's two sides to the coin here. People are saying, look, this is, you know, if you sell now, you're selling in peak FUD. But again, like, what's my thesis? My thesis is that if ETH bounces and ETH starts running, then I think that the other altcoins, the altcoins like Sol and ThoughtChain and Phantom and whatever else, those ones will actually go to Valhalla. And so I think that, like, I don't see, for me personally, a good risk reward of actually being into ETH. Why? Because I don't mind taking slightly more risk. I'm not a Wall Street investor. I'm not an investor in one of those nursing homes where they play bingo. I'm not one of those investors. I'm just not. And so I'm strongly contemplating selling whatever other ETH that I've got. I'll keep you guys updated. Because I think the one thing that's important is if you're going to sell the ETH, where are you going to put the money? And that's what I haven't made a decision. So, because remember, in my portfolio, the ETH is like the safe money. Bitcoin, ETH, Solana, those are the safe money. If I'm going to take money out of my safe money, where am I going to put it? That's not too risky, but still going to give me amazing upside. Like, I can't go put it into some small gaming project, even though I would. I'd love to go put some more money into Crown or one of those. But the risk profile of those tokens is so different that I feel like I'm taking a not so risky asset and I'm replacing it with a fucking risky asset, and that's not how I want to be changing my portfolio. So I'll keep you guys. I've got, someone says Phantom, I've got enough Phantom. Injective, I've got enough Injective. AOS, you see, AOS is great, but the risk profile of AOS versus the risk profile of ETH is very different. That's the problem. Solana, I've got enough Solana. BNB, BNB is great. I'm not excited about BNB. Near, again, the risk profile is very different. Casper. Let's talk about Casper. Because I don't think that enough people spoke about Casper this weekend. And I don't know, smash the like button if you agree with me. I think because the market has been so flat and the market's not responding to news, a lot of people didn't actually celebrate what happened with Casper this weekend. Something, it was a major, major, major milestone what happened this weekend. And people ain't fucking celebrating it. So I'm going to celebrate it, because if the market's not going to celebrate it, I think I have to celebrate it. And so you may ask, okay, what's the big deal about what happened with Casper? First of all, as you can see, the price didn't move at all. So Casper launched what they call a KRC20 token. What is a KRC20 token? It's the ability to launch tokens on top of the Casper network. Just like with ETH or with Solana, you can launch a whole lot of tokens. You can now do the same thing on Casper. So you may say, well, so what? So what? So you can launch tokens on top of a chain. I don't know of a single proof of work chain that has ever launched a multitude of these tokens and done such high transactions per second. So with proof of stake chains, like with Ethereum. Now, of course, ETH used to be a proof of work chain. So that is the one chain that actually did it. But right now, and did it very, 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 very slowly, right? Casper is different. Casper is a proof of work chain that yesterday processed more than 3.4 million transactions in 5 hours. So that's huge. So as someone says, no other proof of work chain has ever done this. Fully decentralized, secure as Bitcoin, and scales. This is a massive, 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 massive milestone. There's another milestone to it. So everyone's talking about, the fact that a proof of work chain, or no one's talking about it. Those that are talking about it are talking about a proof of work chain that is generating thousands and thousands of transactions per second, which to me is a technological breakthrough. But then there's a third thing that's actually happening here, which a lot of people don't realize. Remember that the way that you mine Casper is the same way that you mine Bitcoin. You mine it using ASIC miners, which is a type of mining machine, which is a type of computer which is designed for mining in a specific way. It's called an ASIC miner, right? So the miners, the people that actually mine Casper, are the same people that actually mine Bitcoin. I think one of the big mining houses, I think it was Marathon, if I'm not mistaken, they said that they actually turned to mining Casper because they wanted to supplement their income on mining Bitcoin, because it's the same mining machine, right? Now, these miners, because of this whole launch, they started to earn a whole lot of money. So you can see here how like it's doing 94 transactions per second in real time, and you can see all the statistics over here. But more importantly, the miners started to earn a lot of money. So I've mined 6x more than I normally do today and climbing. So this is what the miners are saying. So again, 20 million Casper paid to miners, 12 million transactions on a proof of work chain. So what's going on here is we now have a proof of work chain that is churning out transactions as fast as a proof of stake chains and is making the same miners that are getting rich on Bitcoin money on Casper. But it's a double-edged sword. And I want to tell you why it's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's the most amazing thing for Casper, because what it's showing is that Casper will be more adopted because the miners will continue to mine it because it supplements their income on mining Bitcoin. That is the first part of it. The problem is, when the market turned down and the miners who have mined Bitcoin and Casper want to sell a token to fund expenses, you got to ask yourself, which token will they sell first? So put yourself in the shoes of a miner and say to yourself, okay, you're mining Bitcoin and you're mining Casper, and don't think like a degen, because I know you guys are a bunch of fucking degens. Think like Marathon, okay? Think like a big mining company. And now you've got on your balance sheet, you've got Casper and you've got Bitcoin, and you need to find more miners. You need more money. Which token are you going to sell first to fund more the money? The answer is obviously Casper. And so it's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it means amazing adoption and amazing mining and amazing everything else for Casper. But on the other hand, you've got to be super, 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 super careful, because if the market turns down and these miners have to make a decision of what they're going to sell, you could get a massive, massive, massive sell-off event on Casper. But nonetheless, I mean, we've got to celebrate the technological breakthrough. It's an amazing technological breakthrough. They did it yesterday. People were trading meme coins, Casper the Ghost. I think the one they traded the most was Nacho the Cat. So I think that was the one that was launching. I know a lot of people actually landed up buying it. And so that was amazing. All right, let's talk about a couple other things. So another assassination attempt on Trump. I don't know if you saw this morning, but there was another assassination attempt on Trump. He alerted people. He said gunshots were fired. Nothing will slow me down. I will never surrender. I will always love you. Thank you for supporting me. Assassination attempt number two. What he said is 2-0. He actually published on Truth. He said it's 2-0. And it's actually starting to become really worrying that it, I mean, I'm not going to say that the Democrats were specifically responsible for it, everyone, because I don't want this video to be taken off YouTube. But I mean, I think everybody knows exactly what's going on here, right? Kamala is losing so badly to them that Kamala's followers have decided that the only way to get rid of Trump is to try and assassinate him. That's a big problem because we need this guy to survive until the election. Because if he doesn't survive until the election, then the problem is we're stuck with Kamala for 4 more years. Now, I don't know about you, but if we're stuck with Kamala for another 4 more years, I think my mind's going to go crazy. Be that as it may. So the shooter is this guy. His name is Ryan Ruth. Ruth. Sounds like a bit of a douchebag. Sounds like a bit of a nutcase. Ironically, he was in an advertisement.
What is the result of the action? It's to appeal to world leaders.
Okay, so that's him. You see, he was in a propaganda video. He was in a left-wing propaganda video. Now, there's an interesting pattern here, which Andrew Tate actually picked up. He said, the first assassin was in a BlackRock video. Do you remember the first guy that tried to assassinate Trump was in a BlackRock video? The second assassin is in an Azov video, but neither are deep state agents. I mean, I kind of get where this guy's coming from. Like, it's just starting to sound a bit like what's the word that they say? They say coincidental. That's the word. Coincidental. That's the word. So I don't know. Too coincidental for me. Anyway, long story short, Trump lives. Not only does Trump live, but he lives long enough to launch his own crypto project tonight. Let me see. I think someone just texted me something about this. See, there we go. So he lives long enough, and he's launching a crypto project tonight.
8 p.m. this September 16th for the launch of World Liberty Financial. We're embracing the future with crypto and leaving the slow and outdated big banks behind.
So Trump is launching World Liberty, what is it called? World Liberty 5. There's a Twitter Spaces. Let's just see what time this Twitter Spaces is. Tomorrow at 2 a.m. Singaporean time. So go and check it out. Trump is launching his crypto project. So from that point of view, I think that's what I wanted to show you. I think just one other thing, guys. So I took a bet with Kyle Dupes on the channel, and I told him that I could get my people to buy more ledgers than he could get his people to buy. Okay, now I'm embarrassed to say it. But Kyle Dupes is kicking my ass. Okay, his guys have bought more ledgers than us. Now I don't know, I can't believe that all of you guys have got ledgers. Specifically, not the new ones that look like the iPhone. They're designed by the same guy that did the iPhone. It's a much more user-friendly experience, and it gets your coins safely off exchanges, right? So look, if there's no other reason for you to buy this other than the fact that we have to beat Carl Dupes, because we can't let Carl Dupes beat us. We can't do it. Use this link. You will get the cheapest price, and you'll get like $10 or $20. I don't know exactly the number. Don't quote me on the dollar, but you'll get... You will get money actually loaded up onto your ledger in Bitcoin. So go and do that. At the same time, we land up kicking Kyle Dupes' ass. Even though I love Kyle, we can't be beaten. Friends, we cannot be beaten. All right, listen, I'm going to go to a party. I'm going now to a Bearer Chain launch party. If you're here and you've watched the show and you're at the Bearer Chain launch party, let me know. Otherwise, I've got tickets for Crypto Fight Night, which I'm going to be giving away to two people in the Front Runners Discord. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, love you guys madly. Trade well, my friends.